reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. All spoke well of Jesus and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown.' But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Last week, our reflection dealt with the whole idea of Jesus' ministry. One of my main points was that Jesus did not come to proclaim the good news to those who considered themselves good or successful or worthy, but to those who were willing to acknowledge they were imperfect, that they were broken. I would like to expand on that idea today. When I use the phrase, people who consider themselves good or successful or worthy, I am not referring to personal self-esteem, recognizing our inherent self-worth, our God-given goodness, is critical to healthy living and was fundamental to Jesus' teaching. We will almost always feel we have been successful when we experience the joy that results from using our God-given gifts for the benefit of others, because we know we have something to offer. The problem occurs when we think we alone are responsible for what we achieve in life, or that our goodness depends on staying as we are. The danger in both cases is that we conclude we no longer need to change. We no longer need to grow. This is an easy trap to fall into, because, as I have mentioned many times, it is always easier to rationalize where and what we are than to acknowledge we need to make an often disorienting effort to change. Yet the most important step in healing of any form is the recognition that one needs to be healed. The same can be said of any successful effort to overcome specific difficulties, or to more fully realize our human potential. Jesus never refused anyone who asked for his help, even when the issue was something as relatively unimportant as needing more wine at a wedding, even when he did not seem ready or willing to help, even if the person was someone he wasn't supposed to be seen with or talk to. Jesus never refused anyone who asked for his help. Just as importantly, Jesus could not heal those unwilling to ask for his help, those who considered themselves beyond the need to change, like the Israeli people at the time of the two great prophets Elijah and Elijah, like his neighbors in Nazareth. The primary difference between those who experienced miracles and those who did not was the willingness to recognize Jesus had the power to help. In every case, this recognition was preceded by a decision that help was needed. The same, my brothers and sisters, is true today. Jesus proclaims the good news to the imperfect and the broken because they are the ones who are willing to listen, the ones who want to become more, the ones who choose to believe that Jesus can and will lead them to life lived more completely. And that's the good news. Do I need to change?